What's up, guys? This is Andrea with the Andrea Effect. I hope you're having a beautiful morning, day, or night, whatever time of the day you are listening to this podcast episode at. You guys, June 29th. This is the second podcast, the first one. Oh my goodness, I was hyping it up. And Marina Cordova, we did some recordings. She's the owner and founder of Luna and Saya Jewelry. Been going hardcore for several years. She's just blooming and putting out beautiful jewelry pieces. She also documents and supports the community, the business community, the polymaker, jewelry maker community, and sharing that. I really love her path in being inclusive to everybody that wants to learn. You send her a message, she's available. But in addition to that, the hustle. You gotta love the hustle, you gotta love the grind, you gotta respect it. And so, shout out to her. She gave me a shout out today, and it's just, you know, I love it. I love it, I appreciate her so much. But that recording didn't happen. It happened between us, we had a good time, it was fun, I caught up with my friend. It didn't record for you guys, and that's what it was like. Because it was just so raw. It was just so raw, it was so real, and had a round fire of questions. That was super fun. So anyways, we're going to have to record that. Stay tuned to that. But I'm so happy to be here with you guys. So there is a lot of stuff going on in this world right now. A lot of things that matter. A lot of things that don't matter and are distractions. And then there's us. That regardless of what's going on in the world, we get out of our beds every day, we wake up, you do your morning routine, whatever that is, coffee, face, pee, shower, whatever it is, and you go about your day. And so it's really easy to get caught up in everything else, right? And that's just, I think that's just how we're wired, and I love it. I love it because we're like, oh, this is threatening, right? Like our caveman days, right? And so when the world becomes too much, I'll just say it like that, which I don't believe it is, but just so we can be on the same page of just simple understanding, your world cannot be in shambles. Your world cannot be affected by the million things that are going on that are completely out of your control. Whether that's something as devastating as the school shootings that continuously happen to, or the attack on our children, whether that's through, you know, kidnapping or death, or, you know, these issues, school shootings, you know, our most vulnerable victims to, you know, women going through our issues here in this country, and whether the fight is pro-life or pro-choice, it's a fight, and these things are, they're heavy, and nobody is denying that. And one option is to say, not my problem. And I can just see everyone's mouth drop. What do you mean it's not your problem, right? Or what can I do about it? Well, you can sign this petition, you can do this. And so there's always something to do about that. But some people get bogged down with, I needed to save them. Why can't I save them? I'm so overwhelmed. This is so overwhelming. How come that happened? And it's not that that person's particularly sensitive. It's that there's some underlying factor. There's some overwhelming factor that, you know, a breakup, a discord with somebody you love, or you have a relationship with. And so that becomes like an obsessive thought. I remember, you know, I fought with what I thought was, you know, a very good friend. And it wasn't a fight. It was like a tiff interaction. And we just stopped talking. And I was like, I don't believe that's true. And then we just, you know, I didn't want to talk it out. I didn't want to hear it out. And I thought about her every single day for 365 days. Because I could have sworn I would have never have lost somebody like that close, you know. In addition, you know, to my grandparents, who I was very close with, it really just, it ripped my heart. And I was like, whoa, that was very traumatic for me. Now, you know, 20 years, 10 years later, whatnot, I can see that, like, that was very, very traumatic for me to go through that. And so I needed to learn, and I have over the years, who I am, what I can control, and what I can worry about. And guess what? What I can worry about versus what I can outweighs what I can control. And so if we're not in this tizzy, in this overwhelming knots as a head, you don't have a head anymore, right? Because your head's like somewhere exploded and now it's just a bunch of scribbles. If you're not like that about a recently developed news story or something like that, because atrocities happen and they continue to happen all over the world and everywhere, even in your own house, in your own neighborhood, in your workplace, you know, just disgusting things or betrayals or just things like that, they continuously happen, okay? And so those things, they're not going to stop because you worry about them. Worry about them gives you some type of feeling. It makes you feel good. If you're still there and you didn't hang up and throw your phone across the room and be like, fuck you, you don't know me. I mean, if that wasn't a triggering statement, I don't know what is. But feeling like shit may make you feel good. Or the person who likes to continuously engage. That is a comfort zone. That is a comfort zone to feel you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough. The shame, the guilt, that is a comfort. It could be something that triggers some type of, you know, PTSD or some type of traumatic event where you felt shame or guilted about something and that wound hasn't been addressed or dealt with. And so, and I say this out of self-revelation, not because I'm talking to you, because I don't know who is going to listen to this podcast. I have listeners in Ireland, in India. I got my team out there as well. I got listeners in Italy, like in all different parts, like in over 9 countries, which is badass. But I don't really know who's going to listen to this. I don't send it to everyone's inbox. It's kind of fucking rude, right? Because you never know who it may hit. So that's not my goal. My goal is to talk about uncomfortable taboo shit that needs to be talked about because we need to heal. We did not come here on Earth to live full of shame, full of guilt, full of fear. That is not living. That is suffering. That is hell on Earth. To continuously torture yourself over something that is entirely out of your control. And the worst part is turning around to your brother and to your brother, to your sister, and I mean that in a very biblical way, and picking at them because of your trigger or your things or your, you know, I'm not good enough, but I can do that. Like, get out of here with that. You can't do that. That's not sustainable. Vas a andar peleado o peleada con todo el mundo. And be fighting the whole world if that's the case. Because we're all perfectly imperfect. And we're all carrying things until we decide that we are not carrying them anymore. And when you decide that you are no longer going to live in fear, that you are no longer going to live feeling guilty, feeling shamed, you are going to trigger people who are in that space. They're going to say, you're so selfish, you're so, you know, this and that, and how could you? And it's just like, well, this is my boundary and my limit, and I have to live that. This is my truth, and it may not align with yours. And then you start to see who loves you for you and who loves you based on what you can do for them. And some people, that's just how they perform. They've only been loved based on how much they can do for somebody, be it their parent or something. Give me a second. put some music on really quick because I gotta sneeze. I think it's tricky. And, you know, saying, oh, they're unhealed. We're all unhealed, baby. I don't care. You're not going to hit 100 years old and tell me that you got it together. I don't care. There's no guru. There's no, nobody on earth is 100%. Everybody got something. The idea to think that you're 100% and you don't, tells me that you have something that needs to be healed. I mean, it's just, there's no fucking way. There's no way. Life is a test. This life is a test to see if you'll learn your lesson through triggers, through healing, through overcoming obstacles. A lot of these situations stem from childhood, right? PTSD, think it could be, I remember working with a girl and her sister passed away. And she was, you know, she's a thicky nicky like me. And she's like, yeah, I gained weight. And my sister lost it. We lost her sister when we were younger. And I overeat and she undereats. And that's traumatic. You know, that's traumatic because you have that survivor's guilt. I mean, it could be a lot of other factors. You know, I am certified, yay, but I'm not a clinical, I am not clinically certified, so let's put that out there. And if you are, congratulations. And if you aren't and you would live some life and you want to share your story, let's do that too, because that's what counts, is having the discussion. And any clinical person that wants to jump on here and give an actual scientific medical background to those things, please email me at theandreaeffect@gmail.com. That is my direct email. I would love to connect and hear more of, you know, naming these things, giving situations and breakdowns and working backwards on things and giving them a title and understanding how we work so we can break cycles. Understanding where things kick off, where they trigger, what the path is, and we can do this. Please, I would absolutely love that. You know, going back to those ladies, who are women now, I know that, you know, survivor's guilt can be in that sense. It can be getting accepted into college and you grow up in the barrio. And you're going to university and you're in Oxford and everything's going so amazing. And you come back and, you know, you see the elderly señora and her nails are dirty or she's cleaning, you know, her yard and, you know, barely scraping by to pay stuff. And, you know, you're just like, shit, I gotta come back and give back. I have to, which you should have to give back. But it has to be authentic. Some people will be there, hands in, helping the señora, you know, getting her somebody to help her bathe and take care of herself and feed herself. Some people will be like, you know what, I'm going to write you a check. And that's fine. I mean, right now, I think that's fine. I can't tell people what to do and at what point to commit or to even commit. Because is that part of the guilt? Is that part of the guiltiness? That you made it out of that situation, that you will no longer face that, God willing. I mean, statistically, there's like the really slim chance, you know, something just goes bonkers and you end up crazy. But like, let's just say that there's a scenario that you never have to face that. You set up a financial plan for yourself and your family and your kids and your grandkids and things are set. You're playing big house now. For the rest of your generations to come. Do you know what I mean? These things feel good. You know, I'm telling you this vision, you're like, dang, that'd be good. My kids are set up, I'm set up. And then you go somewhere and you see that they don't. You see how they look just like you. They may even have your last name. They grew up where you grew up. and you're like, dang, I can't talk about, you know, my freaking 3-month trip out in, you know, France and Italy like that, because some people are going to clap, some people are going to be like, must be nice. I mean, if you don't feel guilty on your own, you can always find someone to make you feel guilty, feel like shit. So you stop interacting with them. So you start to move, but that guilt doesn't go away. That guilt doesn't go away for quite a few reasons. Verywellmind.com under survivor's guilt, -46888743. I think that's the article number. Doesn't say, but that's the URL there. Survivor's guilt is a particular kind of guilt that develops in people who have survived a life-threatening situation. Some people will call it a disorder. They call it part of PTSD, or the cognitive and mood-related symptoms of PTSD. Distorted feelings. It's a distortion. You keep telling yourself that story. And so you believe it, and so you act that way. You act as a superhero. You act as a, you know, putting everything on your chest. You act as if you don't do it, it's going to fall apart. What are some symptoms? You're in a bad mood, you're irritable, right? I think even single parents with kids can feel like, you know, not knowing how to be a good enough parent has always been my biggest fear. As most of you guys know, I did have a child when I was very young due to a rape, and I placed her up for adoption. That was my personal choice. And she's living her life and thriving, and it's the best, right? That's all I could have wanted. She has a family that loves her. She has her family. And I think that was my contribution to that situation. And I know that moving on, I was so scared to have a child after her. I refused to have kids after her. I was like, no way, no way. Not to the point of having an abortion or anything like that, but like just to even being abstinent, getting into unhealthy habits just because that was easier than, you know, it took away my desire to feel that, to fulfill that guilt. I mean, felt guilt doing that, period. Being completely castrated, just cut off from the family because of it, that didn't help either. So there's just a lot of things going on, right? And you're 15 trying to figure life out with all that shit. So God bless America. But I think one of the biggest things were like, it triggered my PTSD when I found out I was pregnant with my child. And it was like, I'm not a good enough mom. I can't do this. I don't have the right training. I didn't have this. This is not what, you know, he deserves. And I was like, girl, you can't be like just giving away your babies like that, right? So I'm telling myself, and I mean, maybe you can. That's what I was telling myself. I don't know if it's right or wrong. That's what I was telling myself. That's the truth. And so I said, well, we're going to figure it out. And I mean, I fucked them up a little bit. You know, I could tell, like, some things. I'm like, oh, shit. But, like, I started to get counseling. Like, 10 months later, they're like, you're pregnant again with the girl. I'm like, oh, my God. Jesus, take the will. Jesus, put a chastity belt on me. Jesus, like, what am I doing? I was just a mess. This is just a mess. And, of course, you know, you add whatever traumas you got that are undealt with. And then it was just a mess. And I didn't know how to get out of it. So I turned to substance abuse. And, you know, it's not something that I'm proud of. And it's not something that I would say I'm particularly ashamed of. It's just what it was. And now I know like why, and that it's a common habit to do. But it certainly isn't helping. And so I walk up to a family resource place and I say, hey, I'm pregnant. I really don't know what to do with my kids. I need help being a parent. That's literally what I said. I don't know. I should pull a file one day and ask them to give it to me if they wrote it verbatim. But you know, they didn't take away my kids, thank God. And they sent me help. And I'm still friends with the lady who helped me with my kids to teach me to this day. Because she's just like, all right, girl. You know, at least you're trying. Because there had to be, I had to break the cycle. I was not going to allow that. I didn't have the guts when I was a kid, but there was no way in my 20s that I was going to allow that to happen again, because I knew how heavy that felt on me. Imagine a piece of you just away from you. But it's like, with me would have been selfish to me. That would have been suffering. And so that was my logic, right? I'm 15 years old. And that was my logic. And so I go on to look at things like, okay, what are some of the symptoms that I may have felt as a new parent with my son and my daughter, right? And so, you know, did I have suicidal thoughts? Did I have mood swings and angry outbursts? Did I have obsessive thoughts about the event? Fuck yes. All of those things. And so not only do you become like a not fun parent for your kids, you're just like not pleasant with yourself. Like you can't even stand yourself. And so this overwhelmingness, you know, if you haven't experienced it and you're just listening like, whoa, right? There's a whole psych class just listening to this. Teachers all, let's listen to this today. Take notes, baby. I can feel myself. I can feel it in my chest as I speak. It's just heavy stuff, you guys. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get over it. But I know now what coping is. I know now the triggers. I know now that I cannot fill anybody's cup if my cup is not filled. And my cup doesn't need to be super filled and run over. I need to have it on. I need to put that face mask on. But we ain't going nowheres. No. The plane is not moving, the car is not moving, the legs are not moving. Nothing is moving if mama's not good. The house doesn't move. It freezes. You feel a dense energy. You feel that energy in an office. You feel like you could see it. You walk in. You ever seen some like couples fight? And you walk in, you're like, ooh, like clear that room out. But now imagine internalizing that within yourself. And you carry that, you're not radiating light. You're carrying guilt. You're carrying shame. And a lot of people do. That's why when you stop fucking doing that, as you should right now, people are gonna be pissed about that too. Because why? Misery loves company. And so to see somebody like, how can you do that? How could you not care? How could you do this? Because according to their standards, doing something like that means you don't care. When in reality, you do care. And you care enough about yourself and your mental health and what you can handle. It's a very mature way to look at things. It could even be a little bit, I don't want to say callous or cold, but, you know, probably that's what it would be deemed as. But again, right? It's like you're talking to a person that is in those spaces. And so as you switch and you grow into spaces with other people who believe what you believe, and you really don't have those discussions anymore. And I'll tell you what I mean and how I know that's true. Because when I was younger, you know, when somebody would, you know, I'll tell you the statements I would hear. Somebody would go on vacation. Must be nice. No, they went to Disneyland. Oh, must be nice. Yeah, they just leave us here. As if a family is responsible for another whole family to take it. Like, oh my God. Or not celebrating somebody's wins. Or look at her, she's all dressed up, and look at her kids. You know, kids at birthday parties be throwing themselves in the mud and jumping castles, got red lips on them. Very much silver teeth activities. But boom, they come for the mom. And so it's just like there's always going to be somebody that has to say something. whether you're doing too much or doing too little. I want to know how you're fucking doing. I care about how you are doing. How is your mental health? What are you doing for you that is keeping you sane? Stop caring so much about what people say. And I don't mean that like, take it how you want it actually. And do with it what you mean. You cannot live your life for other people. I refuse, you know, talk to my kids and I'm just like, hey, mommy gets old, like we're gonna build on this house, we're gonna add a little house in the back. Like ideally, I'd like to stay with you guys, just give me like a mother-in-law house in the back or something. Hire a nurse, I'm setting up, you know, this financial plan that it's gonna be able to fund that. You are not gonna be responsible for me. And I'm also not going into a home, thank you very much. But I'm smart enough to know that if at any time I can, like, shit, I want to see a familiar face. If I get dementia, you don't know. You don't know. There's been some rough cases, right? When people take care of you because it's their job. People do things because it's just their job. Versus they do things because they love you. They believe in you. And there's that. People can disassociate too, just to keep their head afloat. So, I'm not saying to disassociate. I'm saying acknowledge and pause before you go rush and overextend yourself to worry. Change the channel. Stop talking to people who make you feel like shit because you've made something of yourself. You got that PhD. You got that doctorate. You got that master's degree. Bachelor's, you know, whatever. A certificate, associate, a scholarship. You're going to pay small. You're going to pay comfortable. And it'll catch up. You have difficulty sleeping. Your appetite will change. Get headaches, nausea, stomach aches, racing heart. You have flashback. Like those things are telling you that you're out of alignment. And that you need to move forward and continue your progress. And you're probably, a lot of people are just going to go back and just chill. Because they're not going to go change their whole environment to take away that feeling. So they're going to go cope. They're going to find coping mechanisms that are not always good. If you have, it says here on the website, I'm going to read this right now. It says, if you have a history of trauma, I mean, that increases, you know, your survivor's guilt. If you have, you know, you will blame yourself for things. You're likely to internalize, you know, if something happened, like, oh, it's all my fault. Like, eh, it's a collective issue. Like, let's talk about it. What can you do today within your realm? And what can make you feel more at peace? Make a donation. Write a letter to your lawmaker, let's say Uvalde, right? Write a post. Vent your feelings. Type it out. Go into a chat forum. Do whatever you need to do. Complete that cycle and shut down that feeling of hopelessness of that, because it's not true. You've probably done a lot more than you're giving yourself credit for, because maybe people around you, they just don't give themselves credit for anything. You just do what you gotta do, and everyone's in survival mode, because everyone's on the survival path. That's a tier, survival. And then you move to the next tier. Let me look up something here. So I'm looking up Maslow's hierarchy, which, if I'm not mistaken, is actually shared to him by a Native American that actually broke the things down differently. And that it was actually backwards. But with this, you know, one of your needs is your safety needs. It's at the very bottom. And it's personal security, employment, resources, you know, after your physiological needs. So, you know, house, bed, shelter. And you move into love and belonging. And so if you're in an environment that is not loving, that is not belonging, that is not welcoming, and you have traumatic thoughts and event like that trigger that event, it's going to kind of stay there. And so you're going to make decisions based off of, is it safe? Will I be accepted? And now we can even go to the different sections of feeling that, feeling like you belong, feeling accomplished of yourself. And I think in between that tier of, you know, I'm gonna jump out of here because it's gonna throw me off a little bit. What I was saying, I brought it in for a little snippet, but it's definitely not my main focus. I think, you know, once you see that, you don't have that. I mean, there's five tiers in that. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. There's five tiers. And so out of those five tiers, you know, the very two are esteem, self-esteem. And the other is self-actualization. Not giving a motherfuck knowing who you are. I would assume that's exactly how Maslow said it when he wrote it. Yeah, maybe not, but it's still funny to think so. Low self-esteem can affect you. You're more likely to question whether you deserve the good luck. You know, you can give somebody, oof, man, I can tell immediately when I'm dealing with somebody, like, they're like, oh, you guys know I own a marketing agency. You guys know I do tech and all that stuff too, right? So as soon as I see somebody hit their trigger and push something away, they meet with me. They're like, hey, you do this? Let's meet. Boom, we go over a console. We have a conversation. And I said, well, this is a strategy. Boom, 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 boom. The first person to put a block on that shit to continue to stay in that cycle. Remember the cycle we talked about when I said you guys like to feel like shit? Not you, right? Because I don't know you. But people sometimes like to feel like shit. They like to feel like that because that's their comfort zone. That's where they were. Maybe their parents made them feel like shit, or they grew up feeling shit, or unworthy or something like that. So you stay there in trashy relationships or something until you're like, yeah, no. And so, you know, this idea is that, you know, when I've sat there and I've given, and it's not any clients that I've ever had, but is, you know, when I paint this picture, we're like a go, boom, they'll block it. When someone got some really fucking good news, like, man, I won this, I got this, I got this opportunity, boom, they sabotage it. They sabotage it. And as soon as I hear it and they come to me like, hey, this is that, I'm like, dang, do this, watch out for this, this might happen. And it's just like, it's fucking repetitive. I've done it to myself. I fuck myself up a lot. And the only thing that changed me, the only thing that has helped with the survivor's guilt, the only thing that has helped overcoming low self-esteem, trauma, depression, lack of social support, poor coping skills, the only treatment is therapy, is what it's saying here. Which is true. I threw my ass into therapy, coaching, all of that stuff. But I started to test on myself different things of what would work for me. And you know what's worked for me? Gratitude. Nobody could take that away. You can take away my whole world, and I'll find one thing to be grateful for. Have to. You fucking have to be grateful. That is the answer. You have to stay grateful. You have to stop complaining. That is the fucking key. I don't know if you can fake it till you make it with that, because that's an energy thing. I can read that shit. But if you got to start one day, be genuinely grateful for one thing. People opening doors for you. You shine. You shine. Hey, the car in front of you just paid for your coffee, your whole breakfast. Go ahead. Actually, we're going to pay for your breakfast. Ma'am, how are you going to pay for my breakfast? It just happened. You know what? I like seeing you guys together. You guys look happy. I want to do something for you. I'm going to pay for your breakfast. We're like, no. She paid for our breakfast. $100, right? Because we ordered this and that and the kids. And it was just like, man, people see you being, because you're sitting in gratitude. You don't have to fake. You don't have to pretend to be like somebody else. There's people who will just, I don't know, freaking copy somebody. You have no personality for yourself. Find out who you are first. Quit copying people. It's crazy. It's weird. Don't fucking copy people. Imitation is not the biggest form of flattery. It's cringy. Find out who you are. Make your own style. Love yourself for who you are. Accept yourself for what you're not. Rock the shit out of who you are. Quit fucking talking about people, because you probably talk so much shit that you think everybody talks that way, because you talk shit about people. And stop complaining. Stop focusing on the struggle. You're going to get more of the fucking struggle. And be grateful. Follow through with what you need to do. Follow through with yourself. You didn't go to the gym tomorrow. You're playing yourself. You're playing yourself. Doesn't that fucking suck to realize that? That nobody's holding you back but you. When you get out of self-denial and you look at that. That you're too afraid to jump out of that comfort zone to feel good. Because what will people say? What about the ones that aren't doing good? You make that choice. And you let that choice belong to the next person that wants to make that choice. You can only lead a horse to water. You cannot make it drink. That fucking quote has been going around since I was a kid. Almost 40 years old. Since I was a kid. I'm sure even this discussion, this, you know, theory I seem to have found, or code I seem to have cracked, has been going on for years. I'm not the first one to say it. I'm not the first one to learn about it. But this is my first time experiencing it. And I'm not letting it go for anybody. Because the level of peace and happiness that I feel when I live in gratitude versus appeasing and fucking doing backflips on a dick to make somebody else happy. No gracias. Chingate. Stay there. Stay mad at me. I'm going to go over here and be happy. I'm not anybody's puppet. This is the thing you need to say. I'm not anybody's puppet. I'm not anybody's source of entertainment. You need, this is not only boundaries. This is truly believing that. That if you make something out of yourself, that if you make it out of an alcoholic household and you don't have alcoholism, guess what you're dealing with now? Dealing with people who do have it that traumatize you. And so you're going to keep on going and going. And they're going to knock when they need something, when they want something. And, you know, they'll find a way to shit on you. You have to keep going. I want you to be okay being uncomfortable. Must be nice. Yeah, be okay with that. You got to see that that's just what people say when they're in a bad spot. Because nobody in a good spot is going to say that. They're going to be like, dang, where'd you get those flight tickets? And let me know when you go next time. We should totally travel. That world exists too, my friend. Those people exist too, my friend. Oh my God, I just got this multi-million-dollar contract. I'm going to rock it. And I'm so excited. Nothing can stop this. I got my team behind me. I got, you know, I did it. I earned it. This is something that I'm so happy I'm able to do. You know you can't share that. Your mouth will be like, shut up, don't say it. Because you've been conditioned. That's bragging. I don't really recall that, like, that it's been bragging, like, in my personal childhood. It may have. If I share that in another episode, then it did, but I don't recall that. I recall seeing other people get told that, but, like, not me. I guess I was just pretty quiet, but turns out submissiveness and introversion, it's not a personality trait. It's a fucking coping mechanism. It's what you do when you've been told don't be shining too much, you know, showing off, or your brother, your sister's gonna get jealous. They feel bad that you're doing so great. Like, your brother, your sister need to step the fuck up then. You do you. You keep shining because you were brought here to do that. That is your purpose. And to focus on what outside factors led to an event. For coping, it says allow yourself to grieve. It says do something positive. Like, that's giving back or doing something, you know, that matters. For coping, it says focus on the outside factors that led to an event, such as shifting your focus on the external variables that could have created it, instead of going to the self-blame and beating yourself fucking up. Practice self-forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Try to find out how to move forward and regain a positive outlook. I'm not saying to be in denial, to be oblivious to what you know, I fucked up. I'm sure you fucked up. Whether you tell that to anybody else on earth or you tell that to me, I know for a fact we've offended or hurt somebody in our life at some point, intentionally or unintentionally, because we can't always be everything to anyone. And so you leave feeling like you're sure, like you fell short of something, or, you know, you didn't do enough, you could have done more. You know, this happens a lot with grieving parents. And, or losing parents, I'm sorry, and grieving children, they sit there and they, I could have done more, or I could have done this, I could have done that, and come on. It's making peace with that. And I don't say making peace like you just say it, de los dientes pa fuera. I mean that you're not gonna go be abusive to your spouse, become an alcoholic, become a philanderer, workaholic, or something, like just an excessiveness to cope with it. Write down, like, could you really have put that scenario on one of your best friends and listen to them speak, like, as if yourself, like, try to imagine that, right? Everything you're playing in your head, that's what your friend's telling himself. What would you tell your best friend? Hey, don't be so hard on yourself. My friend, she said, I don't know how to sew. And she's like, she's freaking creative. She's amazing, okay? She's so talented and gorgeous and hilarious. And she's she drives a stick shift. Come on. And she's like, I don't know how to sew. And I'm like, okay. And she shows it. She's like, oh, like, I was like, look, you little fucking overachiever. You're not going to sew like you work at the House of Gucci because it doesn't exist. It doesn't, like, it's not realistic. But we carry that guilt, like, oh, I should be doing this to the max. Like, you know, especially that story, especially if you have, like, a lot of pressure or weight that either your family puts on you, or you put on yourself, or the community puts on you, you know, or society puts on you. Shit, if you're a woman by yourself, you have that pressure, you know? You gotta be beautiful. You need to know how to cook. You need to know how to clean. And you need to be making a lot of money. And you have to be fed, too. You need to be hot, too, in addition to that. And to have it all together. Yeah, how's that going? Where there's gonna be one that, you know, kind of ebbs and flows. And then, man, when we're on it, when all six lights are good, we're good. But it's not till you get that. It's not till you let go of those stories you're continuously telling yourself. Right? Practicing self-care is so important. And I'm not, like, spotty. Like, fucking sleep. Sleep, dude. Sleep past 6 hours. Sleep 7 hours, 8 hours. Sleep. Go exercise. Go hike. Eat well. Eat something beautiful. cut out dairy meat for one day out of your whole diet, or for 3 days for lunch, just do something that is non-dairy, not meat, or something like that. Like just a big, beautiful soup, big, beautiful salad, something that doesn't contain any animal protein, anything like that. Like, do something nice. Give yourself a tea, coffee, like a juice, your favorite, something beautiful for you. Accept support. You know? Quit calling yourself lucky. Right? Quit calling people lucky. People work hard for it. People work very hard for things. People work very hard for their future. Very hard for their goals. And remind yourself that while you're grieving the loss of your old self, while you're grieving the loss of maybe, you know, the old chapter of your past self, you're going to experience that during several times out of your life is what I've gathered. You're going to always be evolving into somebody new in some sense, right? We're always the same, but somebody new lessons, new life things. And whether that's every 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 3 years. Allow yourself to grieve. Ask for space. Or, you know, ask for support. But don't push it down. Don't sit there and sulk. Don't numb it. Deal with it. Seek help. Seek therapy of some sort. And I don't mean like this podcast, because I'm a little crazy and I'm going to just be able to give you up to here. I mean professional support. Man, I seen a friend. He was always high. He was always drunk. He was always on drugs. Or if he didn't, he had a phone in front of him, or he was watching a movie, or he's always on something. Always on something. When he wasn't, he was irritable. I think a lot of men are like that. I think they have a lot of pressure. I know a lot of women are like that too. A lot of heads of household carry that weight. And so, in the grandness of things, yes, everything matters. But on the personal level, just you and your 2 feet. Or your 2 wheels. I don't know. What matters is that you can be able to accept yourself in every step of the way before waiting for someone else to accept you, so that you can have an understanding of why you were put into certain situations in life, and why that is your calling, and why those things are, some things are out of your control, like natural disasters and things like that. And that going over and over obsessing over it, or things like that, or playing it in your head, and it's not productive. And you have to investigate why. You know, why we keep going back to that. Why do you like to feel guilt? Why do you like to feel shame? Why do you like to feel like you're to blame for anything? You know, who told you that that's your part in this world? Because I'm here to tell you that's not your fucking part in this world. Whoever assigned that play role to you, I want you to grab that paper up right now, and I want you to send it fucking back up to them and shove it up their fucking ass. Unless it's your mom. Just hand it to her. Just kidding. Roll it back up and be like, yo, I'm sorry that that's how you live your life, full of fear, shame, guilt, resentment, you know, la ira, I wish I only if, and like in the past. You're always talking about the past, crying about the past. You don't even live in the present. You have everything and you're still unhappy because you don't live gratefully in the present. You feel guilty. Because what about the people that didn't make it? But you're thriving. You gotta play down what you're doing. Let me tell you, the people that didn't make it, that love you, they're gonna clap for you. They're gonna clap for you because they love you. People love you whether they made it or didn't make it, they're gonna clap for you. I have my old school friends from middle school, you know, we've been through some shit. And so, like, at that age, you can't really hide things, you know? You just are who you are. At least I didn't really learn how to hide things. I don't think I'm a pretty good hider. I mean, I can lie and shit sometimes, but, like, it's pretty much you see what you get, what you see is what you get. And so, you know, I'm still in communication with them, and it's all love. And the ones who are like, hey, let me remind you of your past. Or, yeah, you're this or that. Or, you know, feel some type of way. Or, no gracias. We're not doing all that. I don't like to feel like shit. I accept when I fuck up. But people just popping off that just like to treat people like shit out of nowhere because they feel like shit or they were treated that way or they think that's acceptable behavior. Mm-mm. Nope. Your boss, maybe. Your spouse. You know, some people, even teenagers, some kids will have best friends that are like, you're fucking dumb, you're this, you're that. That is not a friend. That's a friend. Jeez, I'd hate to see what an enemy says to you. We have to lift each other up. Especially if you're going through survivor's guilt. Where you feel like, you made it and other people did it. Do something good. Do something productive. Don't let it sit there as guilt. Go fucking build a village. Like, build a school. Like, start a podcast. Start a YouTube channel. Start a blog. Start a TikTok. Give back. What made you successful? How did you make it out of your hell? Because some people may still live in places and you're like, damn, that's how. Well, maybe it's not for them, so calm down. That's your feelings. You can't be projecting that on other people. People are gonna sit in shit until it doesn't smell like shit, or until they're like, this is shit. They get a taste of another world, take them out, travel. Amazing. Amazing things happen when you travel. You learn a lot about yourself. It's very humbling when you push yourself. Not in the comfortable. I mean, uncomfortable. Something you don't do, like, never do, are afraid of doing. You have strong reservations about it. Go do it. And I don't mean drugs, okay? This is not that type of podcast. There's plenty of marijuana podcasts out there. This isn't it. You know, quit saying, could I have stopped this from happening? Quit saying, you know, why, like, what could I have done different? How can I stop this? And just be practical. Write it down. Write it out. Make a little scribble note. Write something down and do something about it. Donate. Go to a GoFundMe on there, donate. Do something. Do something about it. Don't let it sit there. Thank God in a disaster and nothing happened to you. Instead of saying, shoot, I lived and, you know, you're so lucky, you're so lucky. No, I'm blessed. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. You have a story. You were gifted to be strong enough to throw that armor on and go through all that shit for a reason. Be yourself. Don't be imitating people. Tell your story. Conquer your demons first so you can share that. A lot of people, man, I've seen some pages and somebody shared one with me. They're like, yo, it's just like yours. And they're talking like you. I said, well, people are people. And people sometimes are weak. And they have no personality. And they want the benefits. Right? are doing marketing for 15 years. Someone's like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to go start a marketing agency. Well, fucking knock yourself out. Here's all the things that I use. Oh, I hope my friend listens to this. Can you bet? I love you, 3000. But she's like, hey, she's like, Andrea, I want to know how to do your podcast and all that. How to do? Hell yeah. Because I know her creative. She's fucking a genius. Shout out to Aries women, all fire sign women, my women. And she's like, I'm going to do this and that. I'm like, she's like, how do you do this? And I'm like, we're going to rock it. She's going to do amazing things with that. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has the right to hear that they're not alone. But not everyone has the bravery to share that. And you can't share because maybe you feel like you're not in the space to. But you guys listened to my podcast 2018, 5 years ago. Is that the right math? Jeez. That was rough. I was like driving on the freeway, like, hey guys, this is Andrea. Like, I'm in the fucking wind tunnel. There's one of them, I was all hacking on it. But I showed up. I showed up. Shout out to my day ones. Have you been a day one? Send me a DM on IG. I'll give you a reward for that. And don't be lying. I want you guys to live happily. I'm not saying perfect. Shit's gonna come up. You're gonna get mad. You're gonna end up flipping somebody off. Or they cut you off. Life happens. But I want you to stop beating yourself up. I want you to stop living somebody else's life. I want you to stop living somebody else's story. I want you to heal that little boy, that little girl inside. I want you to talk to her and say, you didn't deserve that. You know, your parents do. You know, you didn't deserve this or that. And sometimes you don't know what's going on because you pushed it way down. It's fucked up. I don't know what it's called. But you can push something way down that you don't remember until you're ready to remember, because it can break you. I've seen somebody break before. She lost 3 men in her life back to back to back. And all she did was every day cry. So she'd wake up. That's all. It was a heavy morning inside. It was heavy. It was heavy. Do not push it down. You deserve to live. You deserve to have a good life. Everybody does. And if you put in the work and you do the fucking work, you're going to see the result. And everybody's going to go at their own pace, and that's okay. And you telling your story and shining, you showing up, you giving back the way that you feel is appropriate for you. You gotta do that. You gotta do that for you. You gotta understand that you have a life purpose here for a reason. That you are responsible for you. I know we're responsible for our community, so don't take that and, you know, come after me for that. I'm just saying there's a difference between embodying all the issues of the world where you just freaking complain and freeze and do nothing versus seeing it objectively, realizing what can you do right now where your 2 feet are at, and then moving forward. Media will fuck you up. Don't let it fuck you up. Think for yourself, please. Trust yourself, heal yourself, love yourself, and most importantly, be yourself. Can't stress that enough, you guys. Be yourself. Be your true self. Get to know yourself and love yourself. Because when you do, you don't want to be anybody but you. You got this. As you guys know, we're going to wrap up. This has been pretty heavy, pretty long, pretty windy, but I got to give you a long one since, you know, the other one chopped off. The Andrea Effect on Insta, TikTok, Twitter, the Facebook, the WhatsApp, the Snap, baby. TheAndreaEffect.com if you'd like to book a consultation with me for you, your team, leadership. There are a lot of things going on. It's time for me to go. But I love you 3,000 and I look forward to seeing you guys soon. Vámonos.